Some thoughts on the Obama trip now from our regular political observers, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Georgetown University, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Welcome back to both of you. The centerpiece of the Obama trip was the speech yesterday in Cairo. And David, you wrote about that speech in your column as a balancing act, part lofty ideals, part tactically crafted compromises.
Yeah, EJ and I have both reported from the Middle East, and one of the things you note if you report from there is that people tend to scream at you. They tend to have their own narratives. Often they don't hear what people on the other side are actually thinking or saying. So what Obama tried to do, and I think did successfully, was to try to give everybody one narrative, try to understand all sides and give them a spot where they could all understand each other. And so in the way he laid out that dialogue and laid out the situation, I thought it was a very beautiful speech and one that will have some effect. There was a second layer to the speech, and that was a layer of substance and policy. Mm-hmm. And that was less idealistic. That was more realist. That was more in the manner of George H.W. Bush and Brent Scowcroft. And so, to my mind, he did not really promote democracy very much, did not really envision a new Middle East, a Middle East that would push democratic rights, human rights, as much as I think. It's a more pinched version of the Middle East. So I thought really there was this facade of idealism, but at the core, a very realist, cautious, and in some ways a Middle East policy that pulls back American dreams and ambitions.
EJ, agreed?
Well, I hope I'm not fired for saying mega dittos on NPR, but I actually very much agreed with David's analysis here. First of all, it was an effective speech, and he really was trying to say to everybody, I understand you, and here's how I get what you're trying to say. Don Baer, who worked for President Clinton, says, you know, Obama's not the great communicator. He's the great explainer, and he was really on display there. But he speaks as an idealist, but has the mind of a realist. I think his foreign policy is much closer to the first President Bush's foreign policy than the first President Bush's son's foreign policy was. And it was interesting. He used the word democracy, which was a great victory for those inside the administration pushing him to use it. But really what he talked about were human rights. Now, human rights are good, but that's not the same as an aggressive democracy agenda.
But as David says, there also are policy implications of a Middle East speech. President Bush, the most recent President Bush, spoke of Palestine, not just Palestinians, spoke of a two-state solution. Like all recent presidents, he was opposed to West Bank settlement expansion by the Israelis, and he was no hero in the Arab world at the end of it. So is President Obama implying by this speech, I will deliver over the next couple of years, there will be advances that breathe life into what I've said here today?
Well, he certainly is pushing the Israelis harder on the West Bank settlements. It's not a new break. American administrations have always been opposed to the settlements. But he's certainly pushing harder. Personally, I think he's trying to bring down the Netanyahu government and bring in a Kadima government, which would be more willing to scale back and really pull back some of the settlements if that's possible. The danger here is two things. One, if the Arab world decides to wait for the U.S. to pressure Israel into unilateral concessions and to reduce the entire panoply of issues down to that one issue, in which case that'll create passivity. And two, I think, you know, he's pushing Israel pretty hard, and I think there's a danger that Israel will say, you know, even though most people in Israel oppose the settlements, just won't be like being pushed that way.
EJ, I heard at least one secular leftist Egyptian commentator remark on how she heard too much about the Quran in this speech. She heard too much religion. She would have preferred a speech just addressing people on their political concerns. As someone who's written about politics, religion and politics, what did you hear in terms of the Obama view of Islam?
Well, you know, I had the reaction to his Notre Dame speech that he managed to speak fluent Catholic, and in this speech he was trying to speak fluent Islam. And I think that's harder for him because it's a farther reach for him. There were some critics in the Muslim world who said he got a few small things wrong. But I was very struck by one particular sentence in the speech where he said it's important for Western countries to avoid impeding Muslim citizens from practicing religion as they see fit. For instance, by dictating what clothes a Muslim woman should wear. And then he said this, we can't disguise hostility towards any religion behind the pretense of liberalism. Now, here's a liberal president. I think he wouldn't call himself that, but he is talking about the pretense of liberalism. And I think he's talking about a tension within liberalism. In Europe, some liberals don't like the idea of women wearing headscarves. I think it's very much in the American religious tradition to talk this way. So more comfortable than I think that secular Muslim was with the way he chose to weave religion in.
Or liberalism might defend cartoons in the name of free speech that are offensive to believers.
Well, and he's trying to listen. This was about showing respect to the Muslim world. That's the ascent. And there were a lot of historical inaccuracies, I thought, in the speech and distortions and sleights of hand. But he's showing respect, and that'll get a new hearing for the United States.
David Brooks, E.J. Dionne, good to hear from you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.